Last Thursday night, I came home, and I was sharing with the family that I was tempted to go buy a lottery ticket. I was joking, but I was tempted to go buy one, you know, just like we say that, you know, like Pastor just said. But what happened was that Jalen had to go study her Bible and find all these verses to debate with me about it. And I blame Brother Ken and Miss Tiffany for that. No. It's cursed. And I was thinking this morning on the way to work, I heard on the radio somebody in South Carolina won that lottery, won all that millions of dollars. And, you know, there's a lot of sorrow with that. And they have those shows about how lottery ruined my life. And the Lord take care of us. He absolutely will take care of us. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to teach something. And originally I was going to teach about new names that every time God changed somebody's name in the Bible, it was for a significant importance. And I was going to do that. But then the Lord laid this on my heart because, and obviously you start studying something, you get more convicted about things. Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. I hope I can be a blessing. Amen. I am a simple, I complicate, we all complicate things, but I try to be simple. And I like to be simple. I think God is, it's really easy sometimes. And all the dark teachings and mysteries and things like that are wonderful and great. But me personally, my style, I just like simplicity. I just want to be simple and everybody can grasp what I'm trying to, what the Lord showed me to teach. And Proverbs chapter 1. And I'm going to read one verse and come back to the other verses before that. But Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And let me pray real quick. Father, I pray you'd help me, God. Father, I pray you'd help me to be, I say the things you'd want me to say, Lord, and the things that you showed me. God, help me not to stutter and stumble and help me be plain and simple, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts will be open and that you would teach us something, please. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is an attitude of respect toward God, amen, which certainly includes a healthy dread of displeasing him. This fear right here is not the fear we find in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. This fear is different. It's a reverence. It's a respect, love, and appreciation. It's holding God and his son to a level that far exceeds anything else that we know. And this is an attitude necessary in order for us to know and do what's right. If I want to know, or if I want knowledge, I must have this good, healthy fear. Amen. Like I said, this is not the fear that's found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, but it's a healthy fear. It's like a child with their parent. You know, they do fear them in a negative way, and they fear them in a positive way. Respect. You know, your boys respect you, Brother John, and that's a good fear. And that's the kind of fear that Solomon's talking about here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If I want to know, or if I want knowledge, and I'm talking about scriptural, biblical, true knowledge. Listen, as a Christian, everything that we live, breathe, everything comes from this book right here. Amen. Right? I remember a long time ago, someone made a comment. I don't remember who it was. It was pretty deep, if you really think about it, once I say this. Someone said, I know everything. I know Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's everything. That's right. And all knowledge, it's all based around Jesus Christ, around God. That's true knowledge. Everything you need to know in this life, in this world, and I'll get to more of this in a minute, comes from this book right here. Amen. Comes from this book, nothing else. I have a library of commentaries and books. I've read almost every one of them more than one, two, three times. And those are all good books. It helps. You know, all them stories and missionaries and different things. But this right here is where you get the knowledge from. If I want to know and do what's right before God, if you want to learn and know what's right to make the right decisions to please God, you must have an attitude first of a perfect fear. That's where it begins. That's where Solomon, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord causes us to depart from evil.
That's right.
Proverbs 3:7. The fear of the Lord causes us to hate evil.
Amen.
Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord prolongs our days.
Amen.
Proverbs 10:27.
Amen.
It inspires confidence. Proverbs 14:26. It keeps our hearts right. Proverbs 23:17. Just like a child with a parent. You want to keep it right.
Amen.
And there's so much more. And because of the sake of time, there's so much more. And I didn't write everything else down. I'd be forever writing everything down. But the fear of the Lord will help you to do right and live right.
Amen.
This verse, seven verses in the Proverbs, forms a foundation. Solomon establishes a tremendous principle here, and it's really followed through the whole Word of God about the fear of the Lord. Not only the fear of the Lord, but it is the first element of true knowledge, the first step in attaining or acquiring knowledge. Follow along with me, please. What is knowledge? Knowledge is facts, ideas that we acquire through study, research, investigations, observation, or experience. The root word of knowledge is know. Definition is understanding or skill gained by experience. A state of being aware of something or of having information. Something learned or kept in the mind. Let me read the first six verses now. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now follow along and think about these verses, what he's introducing here in the book of Proverbs. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wisdom and knowledge are not the same thing. A wise person will be knowledgeable, but a knowledgeable person is not necessarily wise. These go hand in hand. The word wisdom is found 54 times in the book of Proverbs alone. The word instruction is found 25 times in the book of Proverbs. Understanding is found 54 times. And the word knowledge is found 42 times. I have a Hoffman Bible, and it's just not peculiar, but I just saw this up here when I was studying this. And the second paragraph here says, the purposes of the book are to know the truth, to know how to live the truth, and to know why you live the truth.
Amen.
Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Wisdom is the ability to discern and judge which aspects of that knowledge are true, right, lasting, and applicable to your life and my life. Righteous judgment based on knowledge. Now, I'm going to say this, and it's kind of secular maybe, but knowledge is power. You've heard that before? Knowledge is power. And wisdom is your choice to act or apply that power. That's true wisdom, basing it on the Bible. Understanding goes deep. And the best way, or the most simplest way I can explain this is this, and hear me very well. It is a fact based upon knowledge that smoking will harm you. Amen?
Amen.
We all know this.
Amen.
Drinking It'll harm you, kill you. Smoking, kill you. Drugging, you insert some kind of sin in there. That's a fact, and we know that based upon experience, observation, research, all those different things. That is a fact. That's knowledge. Understanding is this. It is a personal execution of yourself or oneself, of your choice to do such a thing, that there are consequences to that choice, whether good or bad. I understand that if I smoke, based upon knowledge, I'm going to be a fool. I'm going to hurt myself. That's just, and it, you know, the book of Proverbs doesn't point out smoking and, you know, drinking and drugging and things like, oh, it does do drinking. But those things right there, we know what's wrong. We know what's right. Let me go to, let me read this first. True, pure wisdom that God intends for you to have is making the right choice, which obviously it is to leave it all alone. Amen? Leave that stuff alone. That's pure, true wisdom. Discretion shall preserve thee, the Bible says in Proverbs 2:11. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:15, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Let's go to the book of James real quick here. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible says here, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure,
amen,
then peaceable,
amen,
gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Pure wisdom comes from God.
Amen.
Not the humanistic, worldly knowledge that we have. And I'm going to get to that in one second here. I want to focus on the word knowledge. A lot of that was introduction. We're going to focus on the word knowledge. And that's really what my lesson is for tonight. I want to use a couple different men and women for examples here, because there is nothing wrong with knowing certain things. Amen?
Amen.
I'll use myself for an example first. And please don't take this the wrong way. I'm very humbled about what my life is and what I do. And I'll be very brief about myself and about these other ones I'm going to mention. But I'll be 56 in February. And for 40 years, I've been around the building industry. I've been around building houses. And so I've gained a lot of knowledge in my life of building apartments, buildings, houses, and things like that. Blueprints, all those kind of things. Knowledge is power. That's where I'm at today. And someone had told me, Brother Gary Manarese, when I was going to talk with my boss now, I counseled with Brother Gary for about an hour in Food Lion parking lot, talking to him on the phone, and gave me a lot of advice and a lot of wisdom, and told me, Brother Nathan, I told you this a few weeks ago, go in there with confidence, but don't be overzealous and like you know it all.
Right.
But be confident.
Amen.
I've been doing this all my life.
Amen.
And so that's why I'm knowledgeable in that field. And Brother Gary, as I mentioned, Brother Gary, all these years of being around the building industry, what he does, y'all know what he does. He builds and remodels and things like that. Brother Jack Payton, I counsel with him too. He's been around building houses and mason and concrete work. And my father-in-law, all those years, 32 plus years, running heavy equipment, excavating and site work. Am I right? All those years of doing that. He's gained all that knowledge. Brother Joe Godfrey, all these 16 years or so, I guess, you've been doing heavy equipment work. You've gained knowledge. Ryan and Brother Eric Tweed and Joe Rakowski doing HVAC. Pastor and David being mechanics, and some of you other guys might be mechanics. And my dad was 30 years in the military. All that knowledge that he gained, and then 10 years he was inactive, and we built and remodeled houses. Brother Mark Neath, all those years remodeling. Dave Thornton, all those years laying brick and block. Amen? All those years, and Brother Ken, and Brother Ken being a mortgage guy, all those years, all that knowledge that he acquired, then he goes and becomes a chicken farmer. And he got that chicken dummy book out, right? But they've learned now. They're gaining knowledge to do this thing right. So there's nothing wrong with having knowledge. There's some ladies in here. There's some ladies in here that are hairdressers that spend all that time in school and learning things. There's ladies in here that have bachelor's and master's, and some men might have bachelor's and master's degrees and PhDs, whatever it might be. The point I'm trying to make is that knowledge is power.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
Knowledge is power. We were talking to somebody the other day about you don't need to have a whole lot of knowledge to go to McDonald's and flip hamburgers. But if you want to live the rest of your life making $9, $10 an hour, you think you're going to get married and buy a house and provide for a family, you're not going to do it working at McDonald's like that.
That's right.
You're just not going to do it. If you go and you apply yourself and you want to learn some kind of trade or some kind of business, or whether it's a hairdresser, whether it's an IT, or working in prison, things like that, or be a cop, okay. But that's knowledge is power.
That's right.
And listen, we apply our lives to know, quote unquote, things, jobs. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with what we do to make a living. Amen? But we apply ourselves to know all the stats about sports. And we apply ourselves to learn how to play instruments. Some of us apply ourselves to build muscles.
Amen.
We keep, and to lose weight. Amen. We apply ourselves, my wife knows how to clean. She knows how to clean. I appreciate that. And there's nothing wrong with that. We dedicate our lives to everything else except for the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Right.
We gain knowledge, and like I said, there's nothing wrong with that, but we neglect to know him. Right. Knowledge is power. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Can I have this water, Pastor? I don't think it's been open. Proverbs chapter 3. Oh, I got to turn there myself. I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 3. I apologize. My new Bible, it's hard to turn quick. Philippians chapter 3, I'll read from verse 4 on to verse 10. This is Paul speaking, the greatest Christian that ever lived. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, that goes with all the things I just mentioned about all us men that have trades and know things inside and out. Paul here said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord,
Amen.
For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. This is where I got really convicted when I was studying this stuff. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. excuse me, I don't know why my throat gets dry up here. The greatest Christian who ever lived, all these credentials that he had, he counted them but dung. He'd just take them out to the pile of dung out there and leave them out there. And he was saying that I'd certainly give up all these things that I may know him more. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is the same, pretty much the same comment here, and I'll read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul wanted to know him more than anything else. And I have a question. Do you know him? Do you really know him? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Do you really know him? What knowledge do you have of him? I'm saved. It's more than just being saved.
That's right.
It's more to it.
Amen.
Do you know he's the theme of this book?
Amen.
He's the main theme of this book. And the greatest doctrine of this book is his glorious return in Revelation chapter 19. Do you know him? Knowledge is power. Can you give an answer for the reason of hope you have in you?
Amen.
1 Peter 3:15. If you think about this, some of you maybe know where I'm going with all this here in a second. Can you effectively lead someone to Christ? Can you explain what's happened to you according to Scripture? Think about that one.
Yeah.
According to Scripture, what you've gained, you've been cleansed, you know, all those different things. Can you explain that to someone? Can you explain the virgin birth, the sinless life of Christ, the resurrection, the Trinity, the rapture, the process of reaping and sowing? I just wrote down these things. I could go on and on and on. Knowledge is power. Had anybody ever been asked where Cain get his wife?
Yeah.
I mean, you could take them to the Bible and you can show them certain things, and that's knowledge.
That's right.
If you don't know those kind of things, then you're, I don't want to say you're dumb and stupid, but you just, that's where you need to get into the book. There's a verse for everything, everything imaginable, temptation, trials, physical issues, financial issues, emotional issues, family problems, raising a family, choosing a spouse, sin, hurt, burdens, broken hearts, victories, triumphs, hope. The Word, can you show somebody that this is the Word of God? Someone comes to you and they, well, what's wrong with my Bible? You have been saved any amount of time, you ought to be able to take them some verses and use a book.
That's right.
Use a book to show them this is the Word of God.
That's good.
How about finding His will?
Amen.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what?
Profitable.
That's where you get knowledge. Turn in your Bible to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. I'm not the greatest teacher or preacher by any means. I just try to be a blessing and try to. Hosea chapter 4. I think this is probably one of the most saddest chapters in the Bible, these verses I'm going to read here. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Let me just pause for a minute. You know what's wrong with our country?
That's right.
There's no fear of God.
Amen.
No fear of God. And that's what's wrong with our country. Verse 2. I'll get back to that in a second. Verse 2, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. That's a picture of our country, picture of our world today. Excuse me. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for the people, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. By the way, aren't we priests?
Amen.
we ought to be sharing this book. Verse 5, therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. Now, verse 6 is the one I want to get to. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That's what's happening. And we know it's all prophecy. And listen, we want the Lord to come back and get us out of here. But that's what's happening here in our country, in our world. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Our country is being, listen, our homes, our schools, our government, our communities, our churches even, are being destroyed because of lack of knowledge. You think about, we always joke about Joel Osteen and all them quacks out there. They don't preach the Bible. They don't preach the Bible. They preach a feel-good kind of junk. It's just, it make you cry, really. You think about it, it's stupid. I mean, it's foolish, and it's hurtful, and it's damning many, many, many thousands and thousands of people to hell, and that's because of a lack of knowledge. Actually, it's a lack of this book, the knowledge. They have knowledge on how to do what they're doing, that's for sure. They studied that, and it's all deceitfulness, and it's wrong. But our homes are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Think about that. Amen. Young couples really, really need our prayer for us older folks. You know, I mean, we need to, even at this age, even as some of you have been married for 30, 35, 40 years, you still need to learn how to love your wife. Amen. And you wives, your husband. Amen. And your children, and the children to their parents, and how they learn those things. Amen. Knowledge. Amen. Knowledge is power. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. James chapter 1. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 5. Very common verse. You all probably have this memorized, or most of you have this memorized. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know, I hear people, you know, we've heard it from the pulpit, and we've heard other preachers say that from experience, people say, I don't know how you can understand that King James Bible. It's so difficult and hard to read and things like that. No, it's not. It's not. And if they, and then supposedly they're saved. And if they're saved, what they need to do is say, God, give me wisdom. Amen. The verse says right here that he'll give it to them. And he'll give it to us. I lack wisdom. We all lack wisdom. Some of us lack wisdom more in some areas than others. And the Bible, the verse says right here, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Now, ladies, that men there is italicized. You can remove that men. It means it applies to all of us, right? That giveth to all liberally. Knowledge is power. And where I was going with this whole thing was about, we always hear it. We always hear it from the pulpit in this church. When somebody's having trouble and they call pastor, are you reading your Bible? Amen? That's where knowledge comes from, is reading and studying this book. And I think Brother Mike Easter, and I'm going to paraphrase what he said, and it stuck out to me. Brother Jesse Craigle and I were talking last night. I called him for some advice on something here, you can read this book through, just like read a novel. Just read it through and read it through and read it through and read it through, just to read it. But if you're not studying it, you're not going to gain any knowledge. And some things might click and it might stand out to you, you know, things like that. But sometimes you can. Brother Jesse was, I think it was Brother Jesse referring to somebody starts reading, and they come across a verse, and that's as far as they get in their reading for the day. Because they start studying and meditating on that one verse, that they get more out of that one verse than that whole chapter or five chapters. And that's a whole different thing, but that's still knowledge. And we need to get into the book. I need to get into the book. I personally get into the, I don't want to say how many times I've read the Bible and things like that. It doesn't matter. The Lord knows, and the Lord knows how much you've read it. But I've taken advice a long time ago, and I read the Pauline epistles more than anything. It's a church doctrine for us today. And I read that more than anything, Proverbs and Psalms. But I really want to admonish you to read the book. That's where knowledge comes from. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's pray one for another that we may know him. And how do we get to know him? By reading this book. I got one more spot to read. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. I remember being at Roloff's, and I remember hearing these girls sing these verses. It was really, I'd never had seen or heard anything like that. And I've never forgotten it. And we, of course, we memorized this when I was at Roloff's. But Psalm 19, verse 7. The Bible says here, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Knowledge is power. Amen. How much Bible do you know? How much Bible do you know? I will challenge you. First, I'd pray, God, give me the desire to want to know you more. That should all of our desires should be that, to want to know him more, to want to get in this book and to study about him. We're going to spend eternity with the one who loved and gave himself for us. So why don't you start now learning about him? Amen. Father, thank you for this lesson. God, I pray you just take what I've said maybe and be a blessing to someone. And God, I thank you for loving me in spite of me. God, I pray you bless the prayer time coming up. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.